Welcome back to the Narrow Pod Between Pages, the podcast where we read a page of The Narrow Road Between Desires by Patrick Rothfuss, and then we talk about it in excruciating detail. This is page 144. Considered him somewhat simple in the head, a fact Bast didn't mind in the least. Nettie, Bast said, smiling his most ingratiating smile. There was a pause, and she leaned against the doorframe. A little girl peeked out from around the woman's faded blue skirt, nothing more than a pair of serious dark eyes. Bast smiled at the girl, who disappeared back behind her mother. Nettie looked at Bast expectantly. Finally, she prompted. You were wondering? Oh, yes, Bast said. I was wondering if your husband happened to be about. I'm afraid not, she said. Jessam's off checking his traps. Ah, Bast said, disappointed. Will he be back any time soon? I'd be happy to wait. She shook her head. I'm sorry. Odds are he'll do his lines and spend tonight skinning and drying up in his shack. She nodded vaguely toward the northern hills. Ah, Bast said again. Nestled snugly in her mother's arm, the baby drew a deep breath, then sighed it out blissfully, going quiet, and the page ended. I'm the guest for today, Nick.
Yay! I'm Amrita.
Yay! I'm Forever Vin.
Welcome to the podcast, Nick. Welcome to your own podcast.
No, not at all. This is all you. This is all you, folks. But I gotta say, it's good to be back in the saddle. It's good to be reading pages again. It feels good. It feels right, you know?
It's nice to get a break.
Don't I know it.
Have you been reading along? Have you read the whole book until this point?
Oh, I read the whole... No. I was like, I'm not hamstrung by a podcast. I'm reading this book. I bought it on day one. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, I know what happens.
All the secrets.
That's right. No secrets. I spoiled everything. I read it in 2 days. And I'm happy to be rereading it. So I guess I have something up on y'all. I know what happens.
Well, we're happy to have you here.
Oh, so it's a pleasure. It's such a pleasure to be here. So happy to see you
very
all.
Very excited. Have you listened to the episodes or have you just read?
I've been listening as well, on and off. I must admit I haven't been quite as religious, but I've definitely been tuning in. You guys have a really good thing going. It's a real pleasure to listen.
Well, no one's holding you to anything. We're glad that you...
Yeah, I mean, we're your lowly interns. We're really chuffed that you're listening.
And we're hungry.
No.
One potato a day is not enough.
Please. You're several steps above interns. You can definitely feed on the interns at any time. You have my writ. You can definitely take the intern's blood freely as any employee and shareholder of Amathyme Estates.
You've been elevated.
That's right.
Okay. It's happening tonight. Mass murder.
We're on the first floor.
Should we get to the page?
We should talk about the page a bit, right? So what do we have going on here? So Bast is, he's meeting Jessam's wife perhaps not for the first time, but he's there to see her, and he's inquisitive as to whether her husband is home. And that, of course, he is not.
Yeah, do you guys think that she's like lying to cover up that he's probably out drinking? Or do you think he's actually doing what she says he's doing?
That's a good question.
I think that this is the story that he tells her, and she's relieved, you know, that she's got the time to herself. He spends a lot of time away. When he's back, he's nasty. So I think this is, if it's not the story he tells her, this is the story they tell polite company.
Right. So he definitely has his man shack out in the woods where he does his skinning and drying and such, right? So that sounds real.
Yeah, every man has the man shack for skinning.
And drying. Don't forget the drying.
You do your skinning and drying.
Go ahead.
No, please.
I love how Rothfuss writes kids. We don't get a ton of kids in the mainline books, and there's a few in this one, like small children. This book in particular is full of of kids of different ages. And I really like this little one here, the baby or the toddler on this page, because I think there's a propensity. Nettie is the mom. Right. I don't think the little girl's named yet, but
no, you're right. Yeah.
I think in books, a lot of the time you get like precocious kids who are really chatty or who are really observant or something, but you don't really get the shyness that I think a lot of kids exhibit when they don't know you, when they're not comfortable with a grown up.
And there's reason to believe, I mean, this kid is growing up with an abusive father. So I'm assuming that that has some effect even at this very young age.
Yeah, definitely.
So to get this straight. So Nettie has the son who is Reich.
Yeah.
And then there is, I guess Reich has a sister. Is that Bip? Little Bip? Because they talk about that character. So unless there's another child involved, this could be Bip.
So that's the infant that's she's breastfeeding.
Oh, so that must be Bip.
I don't know if that's Bip or the little girl is Bip.
Huh, yeah, little Bip.
I think from context, the infant is the Bip.
The Bip.
Sounds like a Bip.
Yeah. It might also be there's a tradition in some cultures, or at least in some of the fiction I've read. I don't know if this is true, that you don't, in harsher areas, you don't name a child for a year, the first year or something like that.
It's bad luck.
It's bad luck. Or it might just be a nickname, you know? But
Bip could be a nickname.
Bip probably is a nickname, yeah. And Pat in the chat points out that the other kid is Tess. She was named earlier.
Oh, okay. We missed that then. But I agree with you. It's cute. It's a nice portrayal of a child that, I mean, I don't think it's like super relevant to the story, but it's just a nice set dressing sort of to have a little more world building.
Yeah. And as I love to say, it adds verisimilitude. This really does feel like a polite family doing their best to put a brave face on an unpleasant situation. Reich has gone off and revealed to Bast the extent of the dysfunction, right? But you wouldn't know it. And again, this feels verisimilitudinous because I think in real life, you often wouldn't, go about broadcasting the unpleasantness at home. You know, you keep it at home.
I should have placed a bet with some of my fellow podcasters on the number of episodes you could do without saying verisimilitudinous. And I would have said zero, and then I would have won.
Yeah, you would have won. Yeah, you definitely should have put some money down. Well, you didn't do a bingo card? You didn't drop a little bingo card?
John suggests a drinking game where we drink, take a shot every time you say verisimilitudinous. I would argue we can add things to that, like... what is the name for the line that separates two pieces of text? Hildebrand. That's the one.
We wouldn't make it through the whole session.
We wouldn't make it through a single episode. Hildebrand.
I know that thing has a real name. I just refuse to look it up because I refuse to learn it.
Oh, that's not the real... What?
Oh, no, we just made that up. I'm sorry if I'm shattering something. I'm pretty sure on the page we talked about this. Yeah. No, we just said some nonsense because we forgot the actual name of...
Are you serious?
Yeah, but we just...
I might have used the word in a professional context. Like,
oh, no.
The Googles.
Okay. Any other notes on the page, or should we call it?
I have one note, kind of returning to reading Bast aloud since the release of Baldur's Gate 3, and that is that the character of Asterion is extremely Bast-coded, or vice versa. Like, it's very hard for me now to read Bast's dialogue aloud without, you know, sort of falling into an Asterion drawl. For those who don't know, he's like an extremely fancy elf man, extremely fancy, sexy elf man with a dark past. And not a nihilist outlook necessarily, but he's sort of a bleak fellow on the inside under his handsome exterior. But he has this kind of, I was like, oh, darling, can you believe they're acting this way? Oh, my. And so
that's Baldur's Gate 3.
Baldur's Gate 3, the character of Asterion. And when I first saw the character, I was like, oh, this is Bast big time. And I'm not wrong. But anyway, he has a very distinctive voice. And so it's really hard for me now to read Bast dialogue without doing Asterion.
I thought you read him great. I have no idea this other thing that you're referencing. So I enjoyed your read of him. Did not think of anything else.
You're very kind.
Do you recommend Baldur's Gate 3? real quick?
How much time do you have?
Like 10 seconds.
Yes, it's one of the best games made in the last 20 years. It's a remarkable achievement in gameplay storytelling. If you're a fan of Dungeons & Dragons, it's probably the most honest translation of D&D to gaming. It's great. There's a reason it won Game of the Year and all kinds of other accolades. It's a remarkable achievement.
All right, it's next on my
list. Have you made up any other words that I need to now not use?
Almost certainly, but that's one of the few that stuck around.
Oh my God. I can't believe this. I'm really upset.
RJ in the chat going, I tried to tell you all this at some point.
Oh no, I'm sorry, RJ. I'm anyway.
We'll make up words.
We will make up words to get back at Nick on another
narrow page.
Page.